I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden, in the shade.
You know, gardening books, I wouldn't say all these that we're talking about I've read word for word. After you read one or two of them, they kind of all just start to, you know, if you're doing the straight instructional how-to, you know.
Yeah, well, the basics are the basics, you know.
Occasionally you'll get like a new tip here or there, but it can get very redundant. And the ones I picked out weren't even, and I think this is why, weren't even a do-it-yourself one, but more storyline books. Mm-hmm. There's one called, and this is from a fourth-generation Arizonan out of Tucson, Scott Calhoun, and it's called Yard Full of Sun.
Yeah, I've read that book or had that book. I know Scott. I know Scott's dad a little bit. Oh. He was a former customer.
And you're also a fourth-generation. Are you fifth now? Or is your son
fifth? No, I'm fourth. I'm fourth, yeah. But, yeah. So, yeah, it's a cool little book.
It's like a storyline and him trying to figure it out and growing through it. It wasn't necessarily like a instructional here or there. And he talks about, you know, getting overwhelmed. And that's a very easy thing to do when you get started. It becomes very addictive. And you can easily, especially as the plants mature and shape and take size, you can very easily outdo yourself.
Well, and I think the biggest mistake, other than a couple of things, people don't take enough time to prepare. If we're talking vegetables, gardens, people don't take enough time to prepare the soil ahead of time. And timing is the biggest thing, probably for, if you're a beginner here, any book that will give you specific timing for certain crops for our specific neck of the woods is a good thing. But I think the biggest thing that people do is they take on too much at one time. They grow too much. Their garden is too big. They think they need to fill it. And so they've got, you know, the old saying is why they put door locks on doors in the Midwest is so your neighbor won't come fill your house full of all the zucchini they can't eat. So, you know, people grow too much lettuce, too much all of it at one time, more than you can use. So, you know, start small. I mean, start with a little container. You know, just even a little. My mom and dad have an amazing garden, and especially for their age, it is amazing. And it is all black plastic nursery containers, pretty good sized ones, you know, like 25 gallon, 35 gallon black nursery containers. And now at their stage, they've got them up on sawhorses so they don't have to bend down. And they grow everything. There's pretty much, they grow okra in those, they grow leafy greens in those, they grow cucumbers and squash and onions and you name it. There's really nothing you can't do. So you can use your creative sources and imagination, but tailor your garden to your lifestyle, to your age, to what you like to eat. And if people ask me, what should I grow? I said, what do you like to eat? You know, grow what you like to eat. When they plant citrus trees, what should I plant? What fruit do you like to eat? Don't grow grapefruit if you don't like it, or because you're going to have a million of them.
Well, you know, the one thing you're talking about in sizing your garden, it's Mel Bartholomew's book taught me so much about square foot gardening. How much you can grow and how many people you can feed in 4 square feet.
In a little bit of space, small space.
This man, and we were fortunate to meet him a couple times because you introduced us, his mission in life, his self-stated mission, was to eliminate world hunger.
Right. Yep.
And he was going to teach people all over the world how to feed a village, a family, in 4 square feet. And the pictures of his square foot raised gardens will blow your mind. Everything he was pulling out of, I've never seen 4 square feet so crowded with produce.
You can intensive garden. There's a number of names for it, but you can grow, you know. So we're not talking about commercial agriculture and having to grow the perfect shape and size head of lettuce that the consumer would buy. But you can pack stuff in very tightly if you're growing it for yourself or as a neighborhood thing. There was even a group, I think it was Detroit, that I saw, and they were taking anybody that had bought, and then they were going out and buying them. They're very inexpensive. But the little kiddie swimming pools, you know, they're just about the right size and the right depth. You got to poke holes in the bottom of them. But, you know, they had hundreds of these in this place, just lined up, fill them full of good soil, because that is the advantage of going with that kind of system, is you're not dependent on what kind of soil or what has been done there before. You could even do it on top of a paved parking lot, because you're bringing in bagged soil or mixing a bulk amount of soil together to fill these with. And you talk about then you cut down on all that soil preparation time. We had a great garden preparation recipe.
Oh, you did.
That was made for tilling it into the existing, changing or amending the existing natural soil here into pretty good gardening soil. But if you eliminate that by going to a raised box or a garden and you just buy bags of soil, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But yeah, start small with something like that.
Now, you'd mentioned grow what you like to eat. And I'm going to, we grow zucchini, but I hardly eat zucchini. You need a successful,
that's where that cookbook comes in.
Right. Like, you know, tomatoes can be hard. Peppers can be hard. Zucchini, it's worse than a weed. You know, okra is another great example. Radishes, you know, you've got to have one that's easy to grow, easy to maintain. And, you know, the bugs don't even seem to eat zucchini leaves. they'll go eat my tomatoes. They'll go eat all my other stuff. But
do you not like zucchini? Or
I have yet found a
I got a, it
and a I, joyful I, recipe.
I got it.
Zucchini bread's pretty darn good.
Jennifer, wasn't it Mel Bartholomew taught us to like zucchini with that shrimp dish?
That's eggplant.
Oh.
See?
Okay. I stand corrected.
Those can be pretty confusing, too. So one's kind of big, one's little small. Yeah.
I still have not been able to develop a real affinity for okra, even though I'm 62 years old. Usually your palate changes and you learn to like things. It's still not one of my favorites. I'll eat it. So when we were kids, my dad loves okra, and he always planted a forest of the stuff. Well, they went on vacation. I'm sure I've told this before. They went on vacation. We were old enough to not go along, and we had to feed the animals and water the garden. We fed the animals and we watered everything in the garden but the okra. Like, I've had enough. I don't like it anyway. It's dying. We couldn't even kill it doing that. It's still.
Exactly. See, so you also have to have a successful crop to keep interest, especially if you're trying to get the kids engaged.
That's true.
Even if they don't eat
you know
it,
what's
they
amazing
enjoy.
Though? If they grow it,
yeah.
How much more apt they are to like it and eat it if they've grown it themselves. That's a fact for
that,
sure.
That's a fact in my own life. I mean,
yeah, true.
I've accidentally grown something that I didn't even know what it was. And you just learn to like it because it, came out,
in the game.
Came out of your garden.
That's right.
And then another one. Well, you know what my favorite way of okra? Well, we've got the Uncle Jerry's, you know.
Cornichon.
That's
hot pickled okra.
Pickle, vinegar. It's fermented in vinegar.
I'd like to try that.
Red pepper.
And carrots and
black corn,
jicama.
Pepper, jicama.
He does them all together in a jar, kind of like the So Hot mix that Arnold's used to do. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Got it.
This is Uncle Jerry's Cornichon.
That and Talk of Texas pickled okra, you just pull it out and eat it like a pickle. That's good. But you'd also mentioned something about that leads me to one of the other books I picked. When you're talking about how much was in Mel's space and growing up, but there's a really great book Shauna Coronado put together called Growing a Living Wall. And it's not just like a vine type, but she also talks about, you know, different ways to utilize vertical growing and how much, you know, in my mind, you know, gardening is farming, and you're using these big plots of land, and this book teaches you to grow vertical. You know, you've got tower gardens, you've got the Flower Street, urban gardens.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You've got all kinds of different ways to go vertical. And a point you make is that's a very easy way to grow herbs. And herbs are the most expensive thing in your produce section at the grocery
that's
store.
For sure. And most of them are pretty easy to grow.
And you can grow them indoors. You can grow them in shaded mm-hmm. areas. You can grow them on patios if you're in a condo or an apartment and you've got a patio deck. This is very easy to put together.
We were playing with the idea of those vertical walls that you could actually take melons and grow them vertically. Were you ever successful with that?
Well, I never really fully tried it, but in my container garden, we grow melons out of there. And you okay. put them up against the chain link and you let them grow out, and yeah, they
hang right there. Surprising.
The vine it grows is, strong
it is
enough.
Very surprising when you mm-hmm. see a trellis of cantaloupe hanging. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, as space becomes more and more limited, we'll find a way to grow it. You know, there's warehouse production, you know, indoor, you know, hydroponics, aquaponics, you know, all kinds of different methods of growing that. We're going to have to eat, so we've got to figure it out.
And don't lose heart if you live in the city. Our very own Kari Spencer from right here in Phoenix wrote a book, City Farming, and it's how to raise livestock and crops in urban spaces. And her book is also a very meaty little book with lots of good information. And you were talking about stories. She kind of tells the story of her developing her little island of wonderful in her backyard in a very small space. And Greg Peterson of the Urban Farm is also a friend of hers, and he's done an amazing amount on a small space. So this is for anybody who has a little bit of yard and soil to work with. So that's another book I really like. Sometimes, Roma, you said you like the story. I like the authors. I like their passion. So I really like Kari's because of her passion, and also Mel Bartholomew because of his passion. And Rosie talked about his book, Squarefoot Gardening. He also did a book, a little cookbook. And you can in pictures of him enjoying the different food. It's really sweet and inspiring. So great books.
And you can find this complete list of all the books we're talking about at rosieonthehouse.com. It's up on the quick links at the homepage. It'll take you into the Homeowner Resources DIY database under the gardening category, Garden Book Review. But we've got the direct link on the homepage, and Carol's working on the links to a couple different resources on where you can order them. Yes, I'm sure you could get them at, you know, Amazon, but we try and direct you to local resources at, right here in your own backyard that can help. Thrift Books and bookshop.org. And there's even a secondhand books store that I'm sure has a lot of these as well.
There are a number of those around town. Yeah. I think there's one by PV Mall for sure, as memory serves me correct. But lots of places to get books. We've been finding books at like Salvation, St. Vincent de Paul's thrift stores, places like that. Or, you know, you might look at places like that too.